Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@AFR.net. Comments@AFR.net. Tim Wildman here. In studio with me in Tupelo is Fred Jackson and now Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
And Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. Good morning, Ray, again.
Good morning, Tim. And hey, Steve.
Sir.
This shirt, this is an award-winning shirt you got on right there.
I would say that I did this in honor of the now late Harry Belafonte, who died yesterday, yes. I believe, but I didn't know that until today, so
it's a fitting tribute.
It is a fitting tribute.
It's a music shirt.
Music shirt.
It's a colorful music shirt.
I'm afraid, Tim, you have created a monster. I need help.
Well, I call you Steve Paisley Jordan.
I know it started with me wearing a Paisley tie
Paisley,
every so
but
often.
But
I'm embracing it. I'm leaning
you
in.
You have variety in your wardrobe.
That's right.
Your shirts. Where'd you get that one?
You know what? They're all. I get them all online. I find them.
Okay.
Now that I bought one, this won't surprise anybody. Now that I've bought one, I get ads for shirts now. That's about all.
Well, that's how America works, Steve.
I know, right?
All you need to do is sign up for one thing.
Yeah.
And three more things come in your inbox.
He's now a shirtaholic.
Yeah.
Shirtaholic.
That's good.
A shirtaholic.
Yeah. Well, there's a recovery group. Friends of Joseph A. Bank.
So, Steve, President Biden announced he's running for re-election, right?
Yes.
Are you surprised at this announcement?
Not in the least. I don't know whether he'll make it that far.
You mean, just because of what we all know about his mental faculties?
It's possible if it looks really bad that they can switch horses in the middle of the campaign, I would imagine.
Kamala Harris?
Well, I just saw a Babylon Bee headline that said as soon as Joe Biden announced for president, Kamala Harris announced for president in about 4 years.
I tell you what.
No more than five, she says.
I don't know who the Republicans are going to choose to run against Joe Biden and Kamala. Kamala or Kamala?
Kamala.
Kamala Harris, the VP.
Kamala,
but you will never find a more weakened candidate. Unless things change, and I don't see them changing in the next year in terms of the economy. People say it may even get worse in terms of a recession.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it doesn't, but I'm just saying what a lot of leading economists are saying. It might get even bumpier. Which doesn't help the incumbent, whether he's a Republican or Democrat, who's in the White House. The economy usually has a big effect on who people vote for. I'm just saying that this is a weakened. I'll be surprised if Biden debates more than one time. He's not going to debate Robert F. Kennedy, and I don't blame him for that. Politically, strategically, there's no point in doing that because he's not going to beat Biden. And the, that's my view. And then I think Biden either, it's going to be Trump or DeSantis, let's be honest. It's going to be one or the other, and Trump's leading right now in most polls. But I would be surprised if Biden debates maybe one time.
He has to. I don't think he can get away with that.
One time. He may do it one time. I think would probably be all he would sign up for, because let's face it, last time against Trump, he didn't campaign much at all.
Well, he won't have the COVID excuse this time.
Right. That's true.
I also think, and I'm trying to think back several months ago, didn't the RNC, Republican National Committee, say they aren't going to go along with the traditional debate setup?
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they?
Yeah. So
you mean whoever goes against Biden, you mean?
Yes, they're saying we're not going to allow for a CNN moderator, NBC moderator.
I think they were divorcing the League of Women Voters, who organizes all that stuff.
Yes,
I think they're negotiating that. What the circumstances would be?
Maybe Tucker Carlson come back as a moderator.
Rainey,
I'd love to see Tucker Carlson.
Yeah,
moderate a presidential debate.
Now, sometimes they have two or three. moderators, right? They, sometimes they'll have one, and then they, other times they'll have two or three.
It's funny you say that because
questioners.
I brought I think AOC was kind of onto something. If you think Tucker's coming back, listen to this. This is AOC taking a victory lap over the Tucker Carlson firing. But listen to what she says in the middle here. This has got nine.
Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News. Couldn't have happened to a better guy. What I will say, though, is while I'm very glad that the person that was arguably responsible for the some of the largest, driving some of the most amounts of death threats and violent threats, not just to my office, but to plenty of people across the country. I also kind of feel like I'm like waiting for the cutscene at the end of a Marvel movie after all the credits have rolled. And then you see like the villain's like hand reemerge out to grip over like the end of a building or something. But deplatforming works, and it is important. And there you go. Good things can happen.
So she sees Tucker coming back. You know what
you're
talking about?
Oh, yeah, I know
what
you're talking about. It's kind of like the you think the person is dead, and their hand sticks out of the grave, and then it's a teaser.
And all of a sudden, they're hosting a
for the next movie, for the next episode. I don't think she has squat to do with Tucker Carlson being quote deplatformed.
Oh, I don't think she does either, but she's happy about it.
Oh, yeah. All right, next story, Steve.
Let me just, let's go here. We are finding out that the Hunter Biden laptop story is getting more and more interesting the more it goes. What we're finding out now is that Hunter Biden had a relationship with Secretary of State Anthony Blinken years ago when he was Under Secretary of State and going back about a decade or more. And Hunter and his wife, Anthony Blinken and his wife were in constant contact with Hunter and, in fact, asked him about access to the White House when Joe was vice president.
Who asked who about access to the White House?
Blinken. Hunter asked Blinken for seats for his business partner at White House events.
When Blinken was what?
Blinken was Under Secretary of State, I think, at the time.
Why didn't he just call his dad? His dad was VP.
Let me really read this. In March of 2010, Hunter Biden's longtime business partner, Eric Sherwin, emailed Hunter about a couple of White House events. He said he talked to Evan, which is Anthony Blinken's wife, about them and how many tickets the office of the vice president would be allotting for the guests. So Biden emailed his longtime business partner emailed him, and then they found out that they got some. Evan is handling, and Hunter puts back, Evan is handling your dad's, and we can pass names. Basically, I don't know why he didn't. I don't know why Blinken was involved, except that.
What's the bigger point?
That the ties, that there's suspicion that Blinken was also involved in the setting up of this fake letter where a whole bunch of these experts said that the dossier was Russian disinformation.
Hey, listen, the Republican in charge of the investigating committee here of the Biden family, Hunter Biden's laptop, Hunter Biden's millions and millions and millions of dollars that he made off his relationships in China and Ukraine. The fact that his business associates visited the White House when Biden was VP like 70 times. There's just a lot there that suggests that it was a illegal operation.
Yep.
That Hunter Biden and the Biden family were making millions and millions of dollars off his influence with a sitting VP, which is unethical. And I'm assuming it's against the law. It may be hard to, I don't know if it may be hard to prove, but the Republican, what's the gentleman's name who's in charge of the
Oversight Committee?
Yeah.
James Comer.
Oh, Comer.
Yeah.
He's basically saying there was a lot of a lot of Biden family members, Ray, that made a lot of money, they're finding out.
Oh, what a big shock that is.
You're not convinced.
I mean, the big fella. The big fella's taking care of his family.
Big guy. Right? It was, quote, the big guy.
Thank you. The big guy is taking care of his family. I tell you where, Tim, where I think this is going to go, I'll bet there's a plea deal. Because what they don't want is Hunter Biden to come up at all in 2024. They want this off the table. And I'll bet the end game of all this, not that I'm happy about what I'm about to say, but this would be a typical Washington solution. This grand jury is going to come up. There's going to be a
Talking about the one in Delaware?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's already been investigating Hunter Biden for like 2 years for tax evasion.
They're going to get him to plead guilty to something, right? He's going to take the hit. I don't think he's going to serve any jail time. I probably should, but I doubt that. But he's going to plead guilty to something. And then they're going to wave their hands and the whole thing.
Yeah, but what about the laptop that the FBI just bury that in the back?
Just bury it. Mm-hmm. And what? After all, Tim, what do they want? The powers that be want this to disappear before 2024, before it really heats up.
Listen, there have been news accounts, Steve, after news accounts for the last 2 years or a year and a half or so that I read about. That are substantiated off that laptop and their emails talking about things that are illegal.
Honest reporters and conservatives have known for a long time that what was in the dossier was bunk and that what's on the laptop is valid.
Right.
And only now, only recently, has the mainstream media come to those two conclusions, and begrudgingly so.
Well, also, what was the fellow's name? Who said last week openly that he worked for the Justice Department or
CIA?
CIA, and he said the reason I did what I did is because I wanted Biden to beat Trump.
Yeah.
What was the guy's name? Was it Blinken or?
No, that was Blinken's Secretary of State.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? Remember that?
Yeah, it's ringing a bell.
Anyway,
are you talking about the whistleblower?
Well, the whistleblower's related but different. It was somebody that we all know. If you follow politics, you know his name. He worked at either the CIA or the Justice Department, and he was the one. Oh, I know what it was. He was the one who recruited all these 50 foreign relations experts to cover for the laptop story to say it was Russian disinformation.
That's what they're accusing Blinken of.
Is it
helping.
Blinken?
Well,
it's Blinken. Yes.
Anyway, here's the point: is the deep state and Democrats freaked out when the New York Post reported that this laptop was genuine and it had a lot of information about illegal activity involving the Biden family on it. So it was a few days before the election, or a couple of weeks out before the election against Trump. And so they went into panic mode and they said, we got to defend Biden, even if it means we got to lie.
Yeah.
Huh? Am I right?
Yes.
And that's what happened.
And Blinken was the
captain. And Twitter and Facebook killed the story.
And Blinken was the captain of the team.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
That got all of these people to sign on and say this is Russian.
They didn't know it was Russian disinformation, the laptop. But they said it was because they wanted Biden to beat Trump.
Yes.
So they were willing to put their, quote, credibility on the line.
Yes.
Because they were all basically deep state folks.
Yes.
Correct.
And they didn't care whether it was Russian disinformation or not. Nope. They just knew that if it got out, it could hurt Biden.
Uh-huh.
He might lose to Trump. And so they basically interfered with a presidential election.
They sure did.
In that way.
Yep.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Sorry, we stumble there a little bit about names, but that's the essence of the story that's been out there. Next story, Steve.
All right. We've been talking a little bit about the battle over books in libraries, school libraries, and the conservatives, the state of Utah in particular in this case, is deciding it has a committee. It's the Sensitive Materials Review Committee for school districts in Utah, and they are considering taking all these homosexual pornography books out of the library.
What are they doing in there in the first place?
Well, that's what the LGBT plus people are saying, that the kids need to read, because they, you can't keep that information away from these vulnerable kids or else they'll die. That's what they say. But anyway, there's these books that they want to put in, that the LGBT lobby wants to put in schools, are pornographic.
You forgot Q.
So in Utah, parents, some parents wrote a letter and they said, if you're going to take that pornography out, then you have to take the Bible out too, because it's the most pornographic book ever, they say. And so that has to go. And they're serious enough that they've prompted First Liberty Institute to write in defense of the Bible to the school. So they're saying there's a bunch of sexual content in the Bible that we shouldn't let kids read, they say. They're equating that with the pornography that they...
I don't think they read the Bible in public schools.
No, but it might be in their library.
Anymore. It might be in their library, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I've heard that argument used before.
Yeah.
You know, they say, well, the Bible has this, you know, and they talk about, you know, various descriptions that are in the Bible. But, you know, it all goes back to the context, and Ray can speak to this. The context in Scripture. The context in Scripture is always about condemning sin of any type. And all, but also elevating, also, Ray, the beauty that God created in sexuality.
Well, on the latter point, Fred, just tell people, read Song of Solomon. Yes. It's beautiful, it's expressive, it's picturesque, but it is not explicit in any sense that we talk about today. But it's a beautiful thing. It presents, the Bible presents a sex as it comes from the hand of God as a beautiful gift to the human race. But the Bible does not shy away, Fred, as you said, from showing us what happens when God's principles are ignored, when they're trampled upon, when any nation turns away from God, they turn to immorality. You know, by the way, in reading the Old Testament, Fred, these two things have, I don't think it ever hit me as much as it has just reading it as I've been doing this year. Two things go together, idolatry and immorality. Immorality and idolatry. Those two things are tied together. And when God warns his people, you have turned to the idols of the Baals, and then the next thing you know, you're sleeping around, you're committing fornication and all the rest. The Bible tells the truth in straight terms, but it is not explicit or erotic in the sense that people are saying it. And Fred, I just tend to think that people who complain about the Bible are the people who have no use for God or his word anyway. And largely, they're people who couldn't find 2 Samuel in the Bible.
If they were spotted 1 Samuel.
If they were spotted 1 Samuel, they
even in
find
an open book test.
Right. Yes. Right.
Well, and the thing is, the books that concern parents want off the bookshelves celebrate sin.
Yes.
These books are celebrating sin. That's the big difference. The Bible condemns sin. There's a huge difference. And these people know it.
Yeah, next story, Steve.
All right. Let's have a listen to our neighbors to the north. Justin Trudeau is talking, and he wants to let everybody know, the evidence against the vaccine, that it could be some danger. And
what vaccine?
The COVID vaccine, that it might have caused some injuries, is now getting insurmountable, and Trudeau can no longer have the line that says, well, if you get vaccinated, you won't catch it or spread it. So this is what he's saying. Cut 6.
There are potential side effects in vaccinations, and there, you know, are people who've probably gotten very sick from vaccinations. On the billions of people who've been vaccinated against COVID over the past few years. But there are far more people who obviously have died due to COVID, died from not getting vaccinated. And therefore, while not forcing anyone to get vaccinated, I chose to make sure that all the incentives and all the protections were there to encourage Canadians to get vaccinated. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, he didn't force anybody to take a vaccine, except, well, I have an article here from August of 2021. Liberal leader Justin Trudeau said today the government will demand that virtually all federal public servants get the COVID-19 shot and warned of workplace repercussions for those who defy the rule. Not to mention the truckers.
The truckers' protest was all about Justin Trudeau forcing truckers, Canadian truckers, who come down to the States to get fresh vegetables and all the rest, that they had to be vaccinated in order to get back in the country. That's what the trucker dispute was all about. He was forcing people to get vaccinated. And the conditions that he put in place were absolutely draconian.
Yeah.
Now he's acting like he was off for personal freedom.
Oh yeah, right.
Right.
Well, what he would do was saying, "Yeah, you can refuse to take the vaccine. We're not going to tie you down on the ground and force the shot in you. But short of that, we're going to make your life miserable.
Yes,
in every respect, even affecting your livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in any way, shape, or form what he's trying to suggest there, which was he was for." He didn't force anybody to do anything. He's been disingenuous.
It must have broken his heart, Tim, to even admit
right.
that there are vaccine-related injuries. You could hear it in his voice.
Right.
He didn't even want to have to right. say that. But, you know, guys, we shouldn't play this down. It's a big deal if Justin Trudeau is admitting there's problems with the vaccine. Friends, there are problems
yep.
with the vaccine.
Good point.
Yes.
By the way, Trudeau... how long can he be prime minister?
Unfortunately, forever.
Forever.
No, can you, is it indefinite?
His daddy was prime minister, went on. I had lived through that. Pierre Elliott Trudeau went on for years and years and years. And yes, he can keep getting reelected in Canada.
Okay. He's only, 50 maybe?
I don't know what he is. He's a whole lot like his dad, I'll tell you that. Pierre Elliott Trudeau was a left-wing radical way back when, and this guy is just as bad or worse.
Yeah. Justin Trudeau.
Yes.
Next story, Steve.
All right, let's end with this. The new generation has to learn everything over again because they don't come into the world of knowledge. I want you to hear, this is a 20-something man who just discovered he made a serious error in judgment when he got a car. Listen to Cut 7.
Guess who's been paying off a car for 18 months of a 36-month lease and just found out what a car lease is? That is so much money to pay to rent a car for 36 months. Are you kidding me? Oh, how didn't you know? Didn't you read the contract? I did, and I didn't understand the contract. No one's checking what I sign. They were like, here's your car. And I was like, yippee! The only thing getting me through those payments was the idea that I was going to own it at the end.
Oops. No one explained what a lease was to this poor guy.
And we're letting this guy drive a car on the highways?
Well, at some point, everything is new, you know?
Oh, bro.
Well, okay then.
Lessons in adulting.
All right. Well, listen, where'd you get that? Babylon
Bee? It was on TikTok.
Oh, TikTok.
No, that was a real thing.
Okay. Sounded like a Babylon Bee story.
It did, kind of, huh?
Well, there's the music. We're out of time. Thank you, Fred.
All right.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Steve and Chris.
For both of us.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ray.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to this show and to American Family Radio. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday afternoon, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.